From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello to everything that goes bump in a night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, and forever cape wearing producer,
wow.
My producer, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, Count Panic himself.
Little absent here right now, but yes, I am the
I'm not there to tie it for you.
I know you tied a perfect bow, but no, it is you know, when you're not here, it doesn't feel the same to wear the cape. I mean, you're on Zoom and that's great, but it doesn't feel the same. But you know what, through the power of technology, Bob, I'm glad we are here live once again throughout the airwaves of the region.
Yes, I'm today I had some unexpected things come up, and I have to be here to make sure everything's taken care of.
Of course,
at my house, but that's fine. I wasn't canceling the show. It just means we're doing it in a different little format. That's all.
A different format. Some say the future of
the future. I mean, I never Zoom. Have to. I don't, you know, wear your pants while you're doing your broadcasting. Yeah, I guess that's the only benefit, right?
Yeah. Well,
no, I mean, nothing else will ever beat me sitting in the studio with you, Count.
I mean, you're behind a desk anyway here when you're in the studio, so if
you're not on the other side of the glass, it'd be kind of weird not to have my pants on.
Bob, you know? I might not be wearing pants either, Bob. How do we know? For sure.
Enough.
You're not here. I'm not standing up. We don't know. We don't know.
Well, anywho, folks, welcome to Bob After Dark, your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite... favorite song to listen to while driving in the rain.
While driving in the rain?
Yeah. Or in your case, flying in the rain.
About that CCR. Who will stop the rain?
That would have been my choice.
Really? Okay, there we go.
We're 100%. We're on the same page.
CCR had a few songs about rain. How about that?
Yeah, but the Have You Seen the Rain?
Yeah,
that would be my song.
And then Who'll Stop the Rain is the other song, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another song I believe about rain. So they made their whole career singing about the rain, which is pretty good.
Which is pretty good. Now, Count, before we begin the show, we always do our little tribute to your weekend. So let's get the Count Panic's weekend update.
Weekend update, Bob. Of course, we are in the full winter mode. But we are in full winter gear here. It's cold out there, Bob, so it was kind of nice this weekend. But, you know, it's not nice enough to kind of do outside activities. Right, Bob? Do you feel like... It's got to be a certain...
What outside activities do you want to do right now? It's -2.
I'm saying I don't want to do them now. But I'm saying you want the weather to be a little nicer so you can do some outside activities. We're not getting that here, Bob. It's, I guess you could say, a polar vortex. So this weekend, kind of just staying inside, Bob. Staying inside. How about you?
You know, I had the opportunity to do a couple things. One...
Outside or inside?
Inside. Mm. Me and Vix went to the Volo Auto Museum, which was a lot of fun. I got to see the one of the recreation Ecto-1s, the Flintstones car that was used in the live action film. There was a lot of cool stuff there. And the biggest antique mall I've ever seen in my entire life.
The biggest antique mall in your entire life.
And I've been to a lot. It was a really cool experience. I had a lot of fun.
Did you get any antiques?
I bought a couple issues of Nintendo Power and some Ghostbusters stationery stuff from the early days.
Nothing haunted.
So that was my update. And we've been doing something new on Sundays here with Bob After Dark.
Yeah.
We have what's called the Sunday Night Scream.
The Sunday Night Scream.
The Sunday Night Scream. This is the second week we've done it. And what it is every Sunday night on Twitch at 7 or 8 p.m. Central, I find a public domain horror movie and we sit down and we watch it together.
What happens if you choose a non-public domain movie?
Then I get in trouble by
somebody. So what was the movie this past week, Bob?
So we watched Night of the Living Dead our first week, and then this week we watched The Last Man on Earth starring Vincent Price.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. So let me get this straight, Bob. People could watch a movie with you on Twitch?
Yep, so twitch.tv/BobAfterDarkPlays. Every Sunday, I am fulfilling my dream within a dream of being a horror host. I've got a lot to learn from, you know, there's people out there like Housewife of Horror and whatnot that are doing much more work than I've ever done in the field. So I'm learning as we go, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
Do you stop the movie like in Svengoolie and
Elvira? No, I more riff through the entire thing.
Like Mystery Science Theater.
I'm a combination of Mystery Science Theater and Svengoolie. I am not Elvira because I'm not that pretty.
There you go. See? Well, that's, well, Bob, you know, nobody's as pretty as Elvira. So
nah, she is a beaut.
You know what, though? We could get her on this Bob After Dark Twitch plays watch movies.
Listen, if you can get Elvira on here, I would topple over.
Wow. I mean, we could email her, I guess. What's the worst
What's
that can happen? We could email her, I guess. What's the worst
Yeah,
that
be
can
like,
happen?
Hey, do you want to, like, horror host this? I hate to see what her bill would be.
it's
in the budget.
Her appearance fee is pretty, I heard it was pretty steep, so maybe you're right. Maybe we could just afford it for a minute or something like that. Maybe.
But I did see two horror films over the weekend, though, outside of the Last Man on Earth, yes. The recent release of Late Night with the Devil. Did you get a chance to see that one?
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Oh man, I loved it. Vix didn't, I don't think, cared for the ending very much.
It was it was different.
It was, I enjoyed it. Yeah. And then the other one, we went and saw Nosferatu.
Oh, the new one.
The new one.
Oh, man.
I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I really, and Bob, you'll be happy to know I recently saw that one too. So I seen both those movies that you saw.
For once, Count Panic and I are on the same page.
Now this is like Ebert and Roper right now.
What'd you think of Nosferatu? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, you know what? People are saying, how's it stack up the old one? But you can't compare, right? The old one was a silent movie from the 1920s.
Compare. Nosferatu in 1922 is a silent film.
No.
With an orchestra playing in the background, and it's a German expressionism film with a lot of shadow work and a lot of angles, this, that, and another. You can't compare the two, man. That's not even apples to oranges. That's like apples to, you know, I don't know, a loaf of bread. Like,
yeah.
There's no comparison.
I thought it was, it looked great. I mean, the imagery and whatnot. I think the acting was great as well. Nosferatu had a great mustache.
Yes, reminded me of a walrus. But they did a really good job. And what's his face? Bill Skarsgård?
Yeah,
is that his last name?
Pennywise, too, right?
Yeah, he played Pennywise. So he's going to be our new horror icon, I think. He's really good at it. And, you know, as far as vampire lore is concerned, they did a good job with that, too. I was really impressed.
You know what? Speaking of vampires, I know Luke Miller, who's a student there, a final semester at PNW. He's also helps out one guy, not Count Panic, named Tony at the theater center. But here's the thing. I don't know who that guy is. But you know what? He said was something interesting. I told him, hey, if you can inquire about this, there's a class. Bob, we went to PNW, right? Then Purdue.
That's where we graduated from.
Do you know now they have a class on vampires? They have a course on vampires.
Why was that not a thing when we went?
I asked, he's inquiring if maybe the professor of that class wants to come on Bob After Dark sometime and talk of vampires with us. So that reminded me about that. So hopefully he agrees.
I would love that, or I could go there and do a lecture. That'd
be
wonderful.
Lecture, you could say how to kill a vampire. But I was like, man, Bob, we didn't have a course on vampires when we were going to school over there.
We had to learn mass communication law, let me tell you.
We talked about...
I am not knocking my lessons in mass comm law, by the way. It was that and ethics were some of the most important classes I've ever taken in my entire life.
But more important than vampires, Bob?
Probably not.
We could learn about Nosferatu. Both versions.
Yes.
People were saying about this Nosferatu, though. We could learn more about this when we take the vampire course, I guess, or if he is nice enough to join us here on this show here. But not Dracula, right? People get that confused. He's not Dracula.
No, Dracula is totally
different
story.
People think that vampires are all Dracula.
No,
not all Dracula.
No,
that's just one vampire.
Sometimes you have, you know, Count Ulrich, which would be Nosferatu. Nosferatu is just a very old term for vampire or vampire that dates back centuries. They just call it Nosferatu because Nosferatu, creature of the night.
Yeah.
And not all vampires are Dracula, I assure you.
That's like the confusion with Frankenstein, right? It's not Frankenstein.
That's the doctor.
Dr. Frankenstein. Like the it's the monster, right?
Yes, yeah. Or the creature. You call him the creature or the monster.
The creature.
Acceptable.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, geez, Bob, we got to get this cleared up.
Get this straight. So, anywho, Count Panic, with our horror movie talk behind us, would you like to know how Bob After Dark works?
Yeah.
You didn't sound very confident.
Why? By the way, I don't know, sometimes if you're watching on the Jed TV, I'm looking at this monitor just because I see you in it, but I also see you on this monitor, but I also could address the camera right here, so maybe I'll try to do a better job at addressing my camera while I'm talking and while you're talking. But how does Bob After Dark work, Bob?
Okay, so how it works is we split the show into two parts. The first part of the show is the weird, spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual in news headlines. Anything from ghosting cryptids getting caught on camera to lights in the sky being reported across the world, or just weird advances that border in science that borderline on science fiction. And I have three news stories for us this week. Yeah, three. And by the way, Count Panic is not usually prepped for these whatsoever.
No.
And he has to give us his hashtag panics take.
Mm. I'm ready,
when
Bob.
When it comes to these.
Let's get to it. Hopefully we got some Nosferatu stories.
Actually, no. I got one for your mom. I got a Bigfoot story.
You got a Bigfoot story. Well, that's great.
I do, yes.
What's the Bigfoot story?
So, New York State resident claims he found Bigfoot or something tracks in the driveway. Oh. This comes to us from 101.5, the home of rock and roll WPDH out of New York. It doesn't say, this is written by just the name Hopkins, H-O-P-K-I-N-S.
Anthony Hopkins?
Go on.
Anthony Hopkins?
No, just Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
A local resident recently took to social media claiming that they found something rather unusual in their driveway. What was so unusual, according to the video, were large footprints or marks left behind by something in the man's driveway. New York State has a long history with sightings and accounts with what some say is a legendary ape-like creature known as Sasquatch. Hmm. But are those alleged encounters really with an undocumented species or simply with something more familiar like a large bear? According to the study from the Travel Channel in 2019, New York ranked as high as fifth for big reports in the country. And according to the BFRO more recent data, New York is ranked 13th in the nation, right behind Pennsylvania. New York State resident claims that he just found these tracks in his driveway. The Catskill Area Society for Paranormal Education and Research recently uploaded a video to their Facebook account where the gentleman could be standing in his driveway. The man says he was bringing his garbage barrels back from the driveway when he says he found something unexpected in the area. The video presumably took place shortly after dusk, shows the driveway under an inch or two of nearly fallen snow. Various human footprints and tire marks are clearly visible in the snow, but then this video zooms in on what appears to be the least two unusual-looking depressions in the snow as well. Mm. Using a yardstick, the man measures the print at about 21 inches long, 7 inches across, and the man also measured the distance between the two prints, which ended up being from 34 inches apart. A follow-up video was posted on the same page Tuesday morning where a man searches for other prints and marks around his property, and the wind has scattered a lot of the snow, so aside from the two previous weird prints, nothing else can be found. Hashtag panics take.
Wow, Bob, more developments on the Bigfoot front there. But yes, measuring the prints, again, Bob, we don't know for sure if this is actually a Squatch himself or whatever. But, you know, it seems like it could be believable, Bob. I mean, footprints are a big sign of evidence with Bigfoot. If it has a big foot, you got to say, hey, this is probably Bigfoot. Can't be anything else, right? Unless somebody's trying to trick you with a foot stamp, but I'm gonna say it's Bigfoot. Bob, what do you say?
100%. I mean, sometimes these footprints are an interesting thing. That happens to be some of the best evidence we have that there could be a Sasquatch. It's interesting that New York State is ranked as high as it is. Top 20 in some, and in top 5 as far as the Travel Channel is concerned. I don't think here in Indiana we're ranked very high. I think
we have the one in Hammond, but that's about it.
Yeah, me and some guy named Tony Panic went out there once and went and looked for it.
There is one Bigfoot in Hammond, Indiana. They seen it in 1970s, and that was enough for them to say, "Hey, we got a Bigfoot sighting in Hammond, Indiana."
So Panic's take, it's an actual Bigfoot, huh?
It's Bigfoot, Bob, and your take, it's Bigfoot, too.
I think so.
And, Bob, I know you can't see me, but who am I, John Cena? I know you can't see me, Bob, but, yes, we do have a caller here.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob, even though you're at a unclosed destination, do you know this is me?
I know. John, I could pick your voice out of a crowd.
Oh, man, that's what I like to hear. I wonder why that is.
Because you have a very distinct voice, and you're one of my biggest fans in the world, and I always like to remember the voices of my biggest fans.
You're doggone right, one of the biggest fans. Hey, I bumped into Bill, what was it, the other day or last week, whatever, time's going by so fast. So he's been listening, so I tell him to give you a call. So, Bill, you're listening out there, give Bob After Dark a call. But
oh, well, thank you, John.
I don't know. I know we're all skeptics. I am, but Bigfoot prints in a driveway. My wife, I don't know. She's kind of shaking her head about that.
Oh, no.
Usually you find them in forest areas or somewhere out there.
So this isn't New York City, keep in mind. This is in the Hudson Valley in New York
State.
It's
foresty,
State,
right?
So
it's foresty.
That's a lot more rural.
Okay.
Oh, it's in a more rural area.
Yeah, so about an hour and a half, 2 hours north
head.
Of New York City.
I'm listening to you, and I'm looking at her because she doesn't want to talk, apparently. So
he's not in Times Square, though.
Hey, no, I don't think this Bigfoot was.
Bob, I'm going to get you another. Hold on there. Just hold on.
No problem. No problem.
He's peer pressuring everybody to call.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, it's unusual to hear a story about that where Bigfoot footprints are in a driveway.
That is one brave Bigfoot, I'll tell you that.
So, yeah, that was very interesting, though. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but the guy, the guy did measure the prints, and I mean, obviously dimensions of possibly a Bigfoot print and the gap in between his stride or whatever. So, hey, you gotta believe, right? We're believers, right, Bob?
Out of all the cryptids out there in the world, if you were to force me to pick one that I truly believe exists, I would argue that a form of Sasquatch would be it. I've had my experience with the Chicago Mothman. I believe that there's a lot more that exists out there. But if you were to make me pick one and be like definitive proof, I believe that Sasquatch roam among us and are just very good at hiding.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you on that. What about the Yule Cat? Or what is it?
The Yule Cat?
The Yule Cat.
That's Kyle Panic's favorite.
Yeah, they're out there somewhere, right?
I don't have a problem because I get socks every Christmas. And that's, first off, one of the most important gifts you could possibly give somebody is some socks.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of cats around here, but I don't know if they're Yule Cats or not. But but they're running
because
around.
Because of house, they say, John.
Yeah, right. House cats. So. But anyway, hey, nice listening to you. Hope everything's going well, and I'll keep listening to the show. You have a good evening.
Oh, thanks, Sean. We appreciate that. Thank you for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, take care, Bobby.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
folks, do you want to be like John?
Yeah.
You could call in to 219-845-1100. You could just interrupt me and tell me there's a call, considering I can't see you.
No, nobody on the line, but I will tell you when there is a call. But so, Bob, that brings up a good question, though, about the one more question about the Sasquatch, Bigfoot. How you was there ever a documentation of them being in the city or some them getting close to like a neighborhood, a whole neighborhood, or no?
Yes, really rural parts of like the Pacific Northwest.
Going door to door?
Yeah, not they don't like go door to door selling you vacuums or encyclopedias crazy, by any means, but you know, if you live in remote rural area, there is possibility for anything, man.
There you go. So we're learning stuff here. I'm Bob After Dark.
I mean, if you look at the case of the dog man, and I know we haven't had a dog man episode on yet. We got to figure out when we could get Dr. Ben Vanerson on for that one. Mm. But, I mean, the story of the Beast of Bray Road is not far outside Milwaukee, maybe an hour,
yeah.
But it's in an extremely rural part. So this is in the Hudson Valley, 2 hours north of New York City proper. So, yeah, I think there's something to it.
Something to it.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Bob.
All right, Count, you ready to move on to our next story?
What's the next story?
All right, this one comes to us from IFL Love Science. So this is IFN Love Science. That's the proper name.
I'm
not trying to be funny. Oh. That's the name of the company.
Okay.
This is written by Dr. Alfredo Carapinti. Unexpected and unexplained structures are found deep below the Pacific Ocean. Geoscientists have used earthquakes to study the composition of the lower portion of the Earth's mantle under the Pacific Ocean, and they've discovered something quite peculiar. There are zones where seismic waves move in different ways, suggesting structures that are colder have different composition than the surrounding molten rock. The teams describe the presence of these structures as a major mystery. It is unclear what these structures are. If they're anywhere else, they could be portions of tectonic plates that have sunk in subduction zones. But the Pacific is one large plate, so there should be no subduction of material under it. The researchers are uncertain about what kind of material these deep structures are made of and what the means for the internal structures are of the planet. That's our dilemma. With the new high-resolution model, we can see anomalies everywhere in the Earth's mantle, but we don't know exactly what they are and what the material is creating the patterns that have uncovered. Thomas Schutten, the first author and doctoral student of Geographical Institute of ETH Zurich, said in a statement, "The presence of so many cold regions in the mantle suggests that maybe they formed at different times from different sources. They are not just subduction plates from 200 million years. We think that the anomalies in the lower mantle have a very variety of origins," explained Schutten. It could be either ancient silica-rich material that has been in since the formation of the mantle 4 billion years ago and has survived despite the convective moments in the mantler zones when iron-rich rocks accumulate as a consequence of these mantle movements over billions of years. More work is necessary. The team is using just one single property of the waves, their speed, to work out much of the what's going on beneath their feet. Even with fantastic models, it is difficult to work out everything that is just. We cannot open up the Earth and look to see what's inside. We have to calculate the different material parameters that could generate the observed speeds of different waves types. Especially, we have to dive deeper into the material properties behind the wave speed, explained the doctor. So, hashtag panics take. Wow. We have some new structures at the bottom of the ocean that cannot be explained.
Yeah, I don't know, Bob. And how do you, I mean, can't just really go down there, right? It's much like us trying to go to the Earth's core, Bob. It's just
that's what they're saying. The mantle, there's tough, there's right? structures at the bottom there in the mantle, and they have no idea why.
Yeah, and I mean, who's just yeah, that's eerie, Bob. I don't know how to explain it, and that's science for you, I guess. Sometimes you can't explain it. I mean, what's going down? It's a mystery wrapped up in a science enigma, if you ask me. Can't explain it.
I would say so. Yeah. I'm going to call it Atlantis.
You think it's actually Atlantis?
It's a possibility, right?
The lost city.
The lost city of Atlantis. Wow. I mean, you guys have to understand, we have discovered a good chunk of the surface Earth, like most of everything has been explored at this point. Yeah. our oceans have been a fraction explored and understood. What goes on into our Earth is a big mystery sometimes. That's where you get a lot of conspiracy theories, which we're not a conspiracy theory podcast, but I have to mention things like Hollow Earth because it's important to bring up in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, in the grand scheme, yeah.
So, speaking of conspiracy theories, I have a third news story for us from Oddity Central.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, let me begin by saying we are not a conspiracy theory podcast.
Even though we talk about them from time to time.
We talk about them. It comes up from time to time. Look, my analogy, and I will say this until I'm blue in the face, is all of us on this side of the tracks, true crime, paranormal, cryptozoology, UFOlogy, conspiracy theorists, fill in the blank, we all hang out in a bowling league together, but we all bowl on separate bowling teams, right? The conspiracy theory people have their own bowling team. I don't necessarily get involved in conspiracy theories. It's not my cup of tea. It's not, and I'm not knocking the people out there that do their research and this and that. It's just, I talk about ghosts and cryptids and sometimes aliens. Yeah. That's what I know. I give credit to these people that do their research and whatever, but we have a new conspiracy theory going around, which is interesting because it reminds me of one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
What's that?
I will get to that because this story is a viral conspiracy claims fog is a chemical weapon. This is written by Spooky over at Oddity Central. Fogvid 24 is a new conspiracy theory making its rounds online, and it's a doozy. People are claiming that the thick fog engulfing parts of the U.S. these days is a man-made chemical weapon. In the first days of 2025, large parts of the United States were blanketed by, and I quote, mysterious, that made some people experience strange smells, breathing problems, and unexplained fatigue. Viral videos of people shining their flashlights into the fog at night shows unusual large particles and have been shared thousands of times on social media on platforms like X and TikTok, sparking fears that there is no ordinary fog, but a chemical-filled biological weapon. And some conspiracy theorists have linked the fog to a mysterious drone sightings around the country, while others report of a high number of chemtrails in the sky just before the fog set in. Described as a thick, lingering blanket, the fog has left people sick, many experiencing sudden cold or flu-like symptoms and only brief exposure, one wrote on X. Dubbed Fogvid 24, some victims have also reported unexplained loss of energy. With about an hour, I keep sneezing all over for about 3 hours and my eyes are really puffy, one Florida resident told Daily Mail. I've got a very warm and I feel like I'm a fever and my feels like my stomach is constantly cramping since I breathed in the fog air. According to an X post, the bizarre sulfur smell has been and burning sensation in your nose can only be explained by the government bumping a bunch of microbes into the country in the week in the form of fog. Fortunately, there are scientific explanations for most, if not all, of these conspiracy theories. Fog is a cloud of water droplets and tiny ice crystals that form close to the Earth's surface, and when it reaches a dew point, maximum water saturation, that explains why these particles are visible when a strong beam of light is cast on them, especially at night. Mm. As for the strange chemical smells, it's a known fact that water particles in the fog tend to absorb pollutants and other particles in the air, so it's not uncommon for it to contain man-made chemicals, especially in polluted areas. Finally, fog is known to cause breathing issues because and throat inflammation due to the high humidity and those tiny ice crystals that can give you a sore throat if you breathe through your mouth instead of your nose. Hashtag panic steak.
This is a very science. Well, this could be a science thing. Not so much conspiracy as well, but fog and crystals, Bob. I mean, again, much like the second story, I guess there's a lot more research we could do about this than we actually know. But fog.
Have you ever seen The Mist? Stephen King's The Mist.
Is that where you're... There's a movie called The Fog, too, but The Mist is...
Yes, The Mist. Or it is called The Fog. There's one called The Fog, but there's one called The Mist.
Right?
Yeah, I know. What's the one where they're cooped up into the grocery store? Vix will message me this one here in a moment. Do you know which one I'm talking
where
about?
Where it's like outside the fog is rolling?
Yes, the fog rolls in, and then a bunch of people end up at a grocery store, and there's monsters in the fog.
That's something entirely different.
It's not
difficult.
Silent
like,
Hill.
Right?
This is an actual, this is a Stephen King movie. I want to say it's called The Mist, or it could be The Fog. I don't know.
The Fog is creepy regardless.
Yes, so that's one of my favorite horror films, and obviously I don't know the name because I'm just that good.
No, I mean, again, I try to stay out of the fog when I can. Nothing good happens in a fog, right?
I would say so.
I mean, when's the last time something good happened while you were in a fog? Probably never.
I think it's pretty to walk into the fog. I think a fog is a very
walk
it's a very aesthetic thing. I do take walks in the fog.
But you don't know what's out with you in that fog, right? There could be anything with you in that fog.
Vix has alerted me that the movie I'm referring to is The Mist.
Okay, so that's The Mist. Yes.
Yes, thanks, Vix. We appreciate you. So that is the, that happens to be what we were talking about in as far as the movie's concerned. And of course, there's always going to be a conspiracy theory about something. You know, it doesn't surprise me that somebody came up with this. But apparently fog is out to kill us.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Bob. Again, when it's as thick as a pea soup, right? Then that's when you definitely got to be worried because you don't know what's on the other side of that fog. Be anything. It'd be Bigfoot.
Right. You are correct.
Bigfoot and the hog.
All right, Count, you ready to take a quick break?
Sure, Bob.
All right. For our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
And we're back.
Oh.
Oh, hey there, Cal.
Oh, hey, Bob.
What'd you do during break, friendo?
Bob, during the break, I got lost in the fog. I'm glad I can make it back in time because, boy, oh boy, for a minute there, it wasn't looking good. What'd you do?
You know, Count, I picked up a new hobby.
What hobby?
Pottery.
Pottery.
What made you want to
take pottery?
Not for what you would, not for the reasons you would think about for me making pottery. Yeah. But for the hopes that I would capture a ghost, like, during paranormal investigations while making, like, a clay pot.
Like, that was another. Wasn't that a movie, Bob?
Yeah, it was Ghost.
So you want to be like Ghost?
Yeah, you just played the song from Ghost last week.
I was going to say, I think this is the second time.
That we brought up Ghost in 2 weeks.
Back-to-back episodes where the movie Ghost has been referenced. Patrick Swayze.
I think the movie is just calling. I have not seen Ghost in a long time, so maybe it's time for a rewatch.
Well, people remember that scene, though, because the ghost. That's what people put pottery and ghost together, because people can't make a pot in peace without a ghost appearing behind.
Would you like to know my outcome of my pottery classes that I've been taking during
ghost?
Break?
No ghost?
No, I have not had a ghost hug me and help me with the pottery.
Okay. How'd the pot come out?
I mean, it came out great. I'm doing really well making ashtrays that nobody uses because people don't smoke anymore. Oh. And some vases.
Well,
vases.
So will this be up for sale pretty soon?
Yeah, the Bob After Dark pottery line is going to be widely available soon.
Pots After Dark.
Pottery After Dark. Oh my god.
I would watch that.
All right, you ready to dive into the second part of our show?
The potatoes.
This meat. Is the meat.
Yeah, you're right. I got
the potatoes is the news.
I got those two
flipped around. Lore of the week is what we call it. Lore of the week, everybody. This is ripped right from the diaries of Dr. Ben Vanderson, where we look at the strange and unusual, and I tell stories about what we're looking at as far as the lore of the week, and we get Cal Panic to interject once in a while with his beliefs, his opinions. And this week, I inspired by my friends over at the Missouri Ghostbusters, shout out to my pal Eddie Warren, they were saying that I've never done an episode about something in Missouri before.
Missouri? How, Missouri. Now, they went back on all these episodes and said, Bob, there was no episode on Missouri.
No. So we're doing an episode this week on Missouri based on our friend, and like I said, dedicated to my friend Eddie and the Missouri Ghostbusters. And they have one heck of a creature that we're going to be talking about this week, and that is Momo the Monster.
Momo the Monster.
Yes. So we're going to start with the Cryptid Wiki here. Momo is the name of the local legend similar to Bigfoot, which is reported to live in Missouri. So this is much like the skunk ape or the Mongolian monster in Arizona. If different parts of the country have different Sasquatch stories. Each one's just a pinch different, but it's all about the same. So this just happens to be the Missouri Bigfoot. We're going to just call it that for the sake of argument right now. The name Momo is short for Missouri Monster, and it is reported to have a large pumpkin-shaped head with a furry body and hair covering its eyes. First reported in July 1971 near Louisiana, Missouri, by Joan Mills and Mary Ryan, Momo has been spotted in up and down the Mississippi River. It is supposedly very large at about 7 feet tall, very hairy, a very black, hairy, thick fur, man-like creature that eats dogs and emits a terrible odor. Some suggest it was a rogue black bear. Following sightings in 1972, beginning at 3:30 p.m. on July 11th, this one reported by Terry, Wally, and Doris Harrison, then lasting for about 2 weeks, tracks were found and submitted to Lawrence Curtis, director of Oklahoma City Zoo and Botanical Garden, and he deemed the tracks to be, guess what, Count Panic?
What's that?
A hoax.
A hoax? Hooey?
Yeah, hooey. Oh. We have a couple reported sightings that we're going to talk about. 1971, a pack of picnickers reported that Momo came out of the surrounding woods while they locked themselves in their car, and the creature supposedly ate their food. And in 1972, local children reported seeing Momo walk past them with a dead dog. Soon after, a farmer reported a flash of light, growls, and a strong odor that is associated with the Momo creature. So that's Momo in a nutshell.
Momo, how about that? Kind of like a relative of a Bigfoot, then. Momo.
Yes. So I have two articles here that I want to read Momo? For you guys. What?
A Momo?
No, two articles about Momo.
Articles about Momo.
Two articles about Momo. They're both written really, really amazing in the Missouri Life magazine. They don't credit an author off the bat. If it pops up in the article, I will make sure we give credit to the proper author. But right now, it's just credited as Missouri Life Magazine. And I'll give links so you guys can read these yourselves in the show notes down below in the description of this episode. The larger-than-life story still lurks among us. This article originally appeared in the July-August issue of Missouri Life magazine. Whistling a raspy screech in its lands, a red-tailed hawk gently glides a perch atop a gnarly oak tree. The regal tone punctuates the horrid chatter of squirrels and blue jay Canadicar's persisting cry. Nothing all that unusual about collective calls, a familiar alert that an intruder is nearby. On this warm, breezy April morning in Louisiana, Missouri. Louisiana, by the way, being the city in Missouri.
Yeah.
Are the woodland critters and birds announcing the arrival of a man at the edge of the their briar-laden haven? Or is it something else in the woods? Perhaps something that resembles the something that sat on the edge of and hatched international news, a sensation about 50 years ago? After all, the warning signs coming from a Marsloff Hill, a stone throws away from the end of Allen Street, where the legend of Momo, the Missouri monster, emerged in July 1972. A beast emerges. Hundreds of newspaper and broadcast accounts share common denominators with the Momo story genesis behind the Harrison home at 1004 Allen Street near Marsloff Hill, and it goes like this. On July 11th, 1972, 15-year-old Doris Harrison watched her brothers, ages 5 and 8, play outside as she cleaned the bathroom sink. Startled by her brother screaming, Doris looked out the window and saw a massive, hairy creature at the edge of the woods, and the beast, maybe about 7 feet tall, appeared to have blood on its unkempt fur and clutched a dead dog under one arm. Doris also said a putrid odor wafted through the air and into the open window. In a panic, Doris rushed her brothers inside and called her father, Edgar Harrison, who worked for the Louisiana Board of Public Works. Edgar got home, called his wife Betty home from work, picked up the family, the Harrisons stayed with relatives for a few days after that, and rallied townsfolk to hunt for the creature. The beast was described as 7 feet tall and clutched a dead dog, as once was said. That's not the end of the story, of course, but it is a place to where the story began to grow. Watered and fertilized by the additional details of the purported sightings, it wasn't long before others reported hearing an animal growling and screaming. A farmer reported encountering the creature, and homeowners kept close watch on their pets, and keeping them from becoming Sasquatch supper. It was also the work, in the words of Priscilla Giltner, a Louisiana high school teacher, General Tomfoolery.
Oh, hey.
You love that word,
Tomfoolery. Hanky panky.
Yep. Newspapers around the country picked up the story. Gus Artist, a Missouri Department of Conservation wildlife officer, told the Louisiana Press Journal that he hoped the story would die down because a bunch of adventure seekers overran the community. But more than that, Gus and the local police chief, Shelby Ward, feared the public's safety, not because of Momo, but because of all their firearms.
Wow.
At one point, or as the story goes, as many as 100 men armed with rifles, shotguns, and pistols ascended the wooded Marsloff Hill to go hunt down this creature.
Momo.
These days, there's very rarely any mention of Momo. The newest generation doesn't recognize the name Marsloff Hills, and the site is just now known as Star Hill, which is just a quick little brief fun fact. The part of the story took of its own life, too, says one of the men gathered for their morning coffee at Joe's Jug, the Fast Lane convenience store at 3508 Georgia Street, except to confirm that he was in his senior pals that were sitting at the liar's table. There's one in almost every small town. He declined to identify himself. 100 armed men, or just one or two, but there were people up there with the guns at night. News reports detailed the three-hour search of the 100 acres, led by Gus, involving law enforcement and volunteers. They formed two. They found two disturbed dog graves and scattered bones, but no Momo.
No, Momo is Nomo?
Nomo is Nomo. Oh, Momo is Nomo.
Oh, no, Momo.
Gus told reports of who were waiting for a story of a lifetime. I am convinced, and so are the rest of us, that there is nothing that even remotely feels or looks like a monster on Marsloff Hill. Doris' sighting began a media frenzy that eventually gave the name the creature Momo, as it appears that the title didn't come from nearly about 2 weeks later. By the first weekend of August 1972, local merchants decided to cash in on their town's new notoriety, joining together in the Momo sidewalk sale. With denim jeans for $2.50 at JCPenney, $60 coats marked down to $20 at the Carol Ann shop, and even the Momo burger at a local restaurant, shoppers packed the streets in a sidewalk sale event, birthed the local Momo Days Festival for the next few years. It was a fun time, says Herbert Sisko, and one of the men sipping coffee at Joe's Jug. It's an amazing story. And even more amazing, Herbert read about it while working for an American pipeline company in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Incidentally, Edgar and Herbert's wife, uncle, and while Edgar had his penchant for telling tall tales, Herbert remains mum whether or not Momo was one of those tales. These days, there's very rarely any mention of Momo. The new generation doesn't recognize the name Roslof Hill.
Too bad.
Yeah, and the site is now known as Star Hill. Save for the supposed Bigfoot sightings, mostly in the areas south near Cuvier River State Park, the west towards Bowling Green, where William Mage and his farm and has a farm where he and others had seen a Bigfoot-like creature, and Momo is just a forgotten memory for locals under 50. What do you think so far?
I think it's it's kind of a sad Momo's not held in high regard anymore. I got to ask you, Bob, what was on the Momo burger? Do we know?
It just says the Momo burger.
What do you think was on a Momo burger? Maybe like some spicy sriracha or something like that?
I'll tell you what, let me keep reading, look it up, and see if you can find the Momo burger.
Let me see if I can find the, well, geez, that's, if they don't reference Momo anymore, I don't know, I'm going to do some digging to see if I can find the Momo burger.
Sure.
All right.
They were afraid, so for Priscilla Giltner, there is never any mystery. In fact, she says she knows the identity of Momo and the reason there weren't other sightings after the appearance outside the Harrison house. They were afraid of Momo going to reappear, she recalls. He isn't going to reappear. He is probably on the ground hiding or home scared to death. Priscilla and her family were vacationing at a campground in Mississippi in July 1972, when her son returned from the campground office with a local newspaper that proclaimed in big bold letters, Bigfoot found a friend in Louisiana, Missouri. Priscilla caught the college prepped English literature, grammar, and public speaking, and perhaps quite fittingly drama at the local Louisiana high school. I said, good Lord, I'll bet you he did this, she remembers saying, still declining to say who he was. She found a payphone, called the boy's house, and he answered, and I said, did you do this? And he said, no, but I know who did it. I swear to you, Mrs. Giltner, I was not in on it. She recalls, but he told me three boys' names. She still won't say who they were, and I never will, she says. It's done. Priscilla describes the Momo pranksters as nice boys.
By the way, Bob, I'm sorry. There was a caller on the line that call back. I think when I put them on hold, sometimes they think it's not working. But call back 219-845-1100. That's 219-845-1100. One more note on the Momo Burger. Bob, it's an actual chain I am learning here. Momo's Burger is a chain somewhere. It's a delicious fusion. Let me see where they're at. Contact the Momo Burger. But I don't know if it's based off of the story here, but they have locations, I guess. They're based, looks like maybe out of California here, so.
Or no, probably not related.
New York. There's one in New York, too, as well. The Momo Burger, Bob. And with that, I believe we have the caller on the line, so I'm going to put him on through right now.
All right.
Caller on the air.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey. There's.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes, good evening, Compt and Bob. Happy New Year to you guys.
Oh, that's Bill right
thank
there.
Thank you so much, Bill. We appreciate that.
Yes, this is. I heard John, talking to, So I figure,
he was egging you on to call in.
Well, I ran into him Sunday in church and after church, and we were talking, and then I said, I enjoyed the show the last time, and when you have another guest like that, it's tough to get a call in. So
yeah,
I listened.
Well, there you go. At least Bob, they're listening out there. That's the main thing, right?
Yes, oh, that's all that matters to me.
That's all that matters. People don't call. People don't always call in, but they're out there. They're listening. They're watching the podcast. They're listening to the radio. They're watching on Jet TV. So it's a nice mix there, Bill. It's a nice mix.
Well, I had a question for Bob.
Hit me, Bill.
Yeah, did you ever? I'm calling from beautiful downtown East Chicago again. There you go, man. So, did you ever find out anything with by Club Cuyahoga there of a ghost or anything or sightings or anything?
We have been told that there is some sightings at Club Cuyahoga in East Chicago. So what I am going to do is, Count, can you make a note for me?
Knock on the door?
No, we're going to see if we could get in there for an investigation one night, because you're not the first person to tell us about the haunting at Club Cuyahoga. You're talking about on the boulevard there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, I've heard of that about that. I never belonged. I mean, I was involved with the, you know, Italy over there. I umpired for a lot of years there.
Lots of spirits there. Lots of spirits.
Yes.
That's what I hear.
I don't know about you. Well, drinking spirits, too. But Bill, will you be a part of this investigation if we go in there with Bob?
Well, just give me a call, yeah.
There we go.
Do we know anybody? Do we have a contact at the Chicago Club Cuyahoga?
We'll knock on the door.
No, we don't have a contact.
We'll just knock on the door, Bob.
Yeah, we'll just knock on the door with a bunch of equipment. Hi, would you like to have us come in there and do some investigating?
Knock on the door. Don't mention my name. They might not let you in. I don't know. But
to be fair, I don't think of mentioning my dad's name might buy us any favors either. I don't know. Yeah. Dad was out of East Chicago for a while at some time.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm enjoying the show, and I'll let you guys go. And, you know, hopefully, because last time or it was 2 weeks I've been listening, but there's been basketball on, so. And I don't know when it's going to happen again. So
yeah, I mean, there's basketball. I mean, that's the thing with the show. If there's IU's playing or Purdue's playing or maybe a local high school game is running late, we get bumped for that. But usually, or if there's something going on with us where we can't make it, but usually this 9 o'clock is. And if you want to watch, if you got a smartphone device, you can actually watch us, Bill. There, Jed TV, and because we'd still be on the video, won't be on the radio.
Well, listen, I'll let you guys go. You, like I say, God bless you, and Happy New Year to you guys.
All right, Happy New Year, Bill.
That.
All right, take care. See you, Bob.
See you.
There you go.
Pick a note. We're going to see you. Do we have a contact at the Club Cuyahoga?
I don't know if we have a direct contact, but we could.
Well, I'm saying, do you know anybody in Club Cuyahoga in East Chicago?
Not personally, Bob, or nothing.
Is John a member of the Club Cuyahoga?
I don't. Maybe John's been to Club Cuyahoga, but I don't think he is. Takes part as a full time member.
Because I think that's like a club, like the Moose Lodge.
That's why it's called Club Cuyahoga. So we got to
see what we can do.
So you're saying we got to join the club first, and then we can do an investigation?
Well, no, what we're gonna do is call and see if we could go in there for an investigation one night.
We got to learn the secret handshake.
I don't know. My father was a moose and a good fellow, so.
John just texted that he does, so maybe we could get in there, Bob.
Okay, let's see what we could do. John's, we'll get some investigators out there, myself, and we'll see if we could get Pete Grice to come out and some of the other folk. We'll make that happen. If they're interested in having us,
we can't just, because some places are,
some places are weird about it.
Some people welcome investigators. Some places are like, maybe not. So we don't want to rattle anything that's going on here as far as spirits go, because,
absolutely.
Pete Grice would be a great one to have because he's got all the equipment.
Oh, yes. Let's figure that out. Tell John, if you're still listening, which I know you are, let's see if we could get in there for an investigation. I'd really love that.
All right.
All right. Back to the article here about Momo as we wrap up the show here. Put us on the map. Just months before her death in 2021, Doris Harrison told reporters that her and her friends that she was tired of being questioned and doubted when it came to her Momo sighting. I talked to Mrs. Harrison, said Brent Engel, an area historian and co-president of the Louisiana Area Historical Museum. She was extremely adamant about it, and I don't think she was making it up. Doris Harrison went to her grave saying you couldn't tell her that it didn't happen. Mm. Priscilla is sure that Doris saw something, perhaps a high school student dressed in a monster, but not a foul-smelling, otherworldly creature clutching a dead dog. Priscilla is also sticking to her story. I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever known about, she says, and I think it's one of the most inventive things that's ever happened to here. It put us on the map. There is one more sighting from William McGee, a self-proclaimed cryptozoologist and Bigfoot researcher. 19 years after Momo roused the residents of Louisiana, Missouri, William was camping on his family's property in rural Bowling Green in spring 1991. As he followed the curvature of the creek on his four-wheeler, he drove around the bend and spotted a large creature squawking in the creek a mere 30 feet away. William describes the creature as being about 7 feet tall, somewhat hunched, and covered with black-brown hair. There was a brief moment of eye contact, and the creature's face was more human than primate, not ape-like, as he recalls. In an instant, he says, the creature, which the McGee family now refers to as Mo, leapt straight up over the roughly 8-foot-high creek bank. And it could have been a split second, but it could have been 20 minutes, Williams said. You're looking at something you're told doesn't exist, but guess what? It's looking at you. So that kind of wraps up our story on Momo. Some people claim that there is no scientific evidence of this. Some people claim it's a hoax. But I'm more interested to hear what Count Panic's thoughts are. Yeah, do you think Momo's a real thing?
You know what? It's nice. It's a nice thing to have. Some, you know, when you're a community, you could rally around this cryptid. You, like Mothman, right? They built a statue of Mothman. Momo, less known than Mothman. Maybe not so much Missouri, but kind of seems like forgotten about. That Momo Burger, the people came around to rally for Momo. Now it's Nomo. Momo. But you know what? Why? Who am I to say a Momo is a hooey, Bob? Momo is 100% real. I believe in Momo. Put that on a t-shirt, Bob. I believe in Momo.
I believe in Momo as well.
You do?
I think that there's something to it. You can't doubt what somebody went to their grave with.
Can't.
You can't. And if they know that area and they know what they saw, when they saw it, and if they saw it, I'm going with it's real.
Momo?
Again, when it comes to these cryptid sightings, the Sasquatch creatures, natives were talking about them for thousands of years before we even started having words for them. Mm-hmm. It's hard to discredit that kind of a thing.
I'm waiting for maybe Momo the movie. We have a, you know.
There are several.
Momo
Our
movies.
Friends over at Small Town Monsters did a Momo documentary.
Oh, documentary. Okay.
Yep, yep.
Now, next thing we just need is a like a script, I guess, for Momo. The live-action Momo.
Momo the musical?
Momo the musical. There we go. You're thinking outside the box here, Bob.
Something like that. Yeah. Now, Count, got a question for you.
Yeah.
You have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Bob, I want to tell the folks at home, stay warm out there. It's cold, it's winter, so I guess it's to be expected, but be safe when you're walking, right? It's icy. Always watch your step, and until next time, continue having a great winter.
Yep. And folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. I just want to wish my mom sweet dreams, and to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.